ready to laugh your ass off.
I don't think this is quite normal.
It's the lesbian hour.
Hey, how you doing? It's me again, and I'm flying solo once again. I feel like since Donna's become a married woman, she's really, really busy. Maybe it's doing wifey things. I don't know. Could be her 9 jobs. I'm not sure. But anyways, I don't want you guys to miss out on anything, so I'm going to do it on my own again. But listen, there's so much to talk about. It doesn't even matter. First of all, lucky for you guys, I have a bonus podcast that's up right now with Sandra Valls. Right? Blast from the past. Well, you guys, maybe not, but for me, huge blast from the past. I'm super, super excited about having Sandra on, and not just on. It wasn't like a little getting to know you or just a 20-minute catch-up or an interview. We had like this phenomenal 2-hour conversation. This is what happens, you guys. This is what happens because, you know, we lose touch with each other and then we reconnect and there's so much to get caught up on. But this was so much fun and it was super in-depth. Like, yeah, she's one of our favorite comedians. Yes, she is, you know, breaking new ground wherever she goes. I mean, a Latina, a lesbian, out lesbian comedian on the road constantly doing Lesberados with Mimi Gonzalez. As well as her own stand-up stuff. So it was just a phenomenal conversation just to hear what she's been up to and what the last couple of years have been like. And then some really deep personal stuff, a lot of exclusives, fun stuff. So if you get a chance to listen to that, really shove that in your ear holes because it was so much fun and it was such a good conversation. It was really cool. I kind of in my head had an idea that we were going to do a show, but then it really became just like catching up with an old friend, and I wanted to let you guys in on it, and she was totally cool with that. So we had this cool 2-hour Skype conversation, and I'm going to put it up as a separate podcast because you deserve it. You hang in there. You're with this random schedule of ours, and you never give me grief about it. You don't harp on me about when the next show is going up, and you check in constantly through Facebook and Twitter, and I appreciate that. So that was like a bonus. So definitely check that out. It's good stuff. In the meantime, I feel like there's so much to talk about. We haven't had a show. Well, I didn't do a show since like early January, and so much has happened since then. Just last night, I went to the Stonewall Comedy Gala, Girls Night Out. This is an annual thing. This was the 3rd or 4th. I don't even know. Maybe the 3rd? I'm not quite sure. And Hazel goes to it all the time. Her and Kirsten, kind of, it was like their Christmas present to each other to always get each other tickets. So this year, she bought tickets for me and Gemma, and that was part of our Christmas extravaganza. And so it was last night, January 19th. It was at the Bloomsbury Theater, which is an amazing theater. Big, big. And the lineup was incredible. Our host was Jen Brister. You guys hear me talk about out comedian Jen Brister. She's so fun. Like, honestly, she's just so much fun. She's so good with the spontaneous audience interaction and stuff. So it was really great night knowing that Jen was going to host, but there were some great comedians. There was Angela Barnes, Carrie Godleman, Zoe Lyons, Mae Martin, Rosie Wilby, and then a double act, Shirley and Shirley, which was really different and really funny. And we just had a fantastic night. It was really good stuff all around. And all the proceeds go to benefit Stonewall. So they were doing raffles, and the comedians donate their time for this every year, and it was really it was a cool coming together sisterhood kind of thing. Even though there were like 4 gay men in the audience, it was mostly us queers, us lesbians together So it was super, super fun. Mae Martin is from Canada, so I understood her with no problem whatsoever. You would think after 4 years I would totally get this. I would get everybody's accent. But that's the thing, is that there's so many different dialects. I'm getting used to it. But anyways, it was super cool. It was a great night. I got to see the Planet London ladies. Katie and Naomi were there. I got to see Kat Holmes, who you guys, I don't know, you probably met her at Elfest, some of the UKers. She's the producer of the Australian movie Submerge. And she's recently relocated from Australia to here in London. So she was there. And if you listened to the Planet London Awards, Ultimate Planet Awards, you'll know that one of the awards was for the Volunteer of the Year, and that went to Sarah Lavender, and she was there as well. So it was really cool to see some familiar faces and have a couple of drinks and a lot of laughs. I mean, it was a lot of comedians. It was a really good night, really fun. So thank you, Hazel, for our present, our tickets. We totally enjoyed it. It was great to hanging out with Kirsten, who you hear us talk all the time about, the lovely Kirsten Arnold. She's so freaking funny. Like, she's the kind of funny that she doesn't realize that she's funny, and she just is funny. And she's gone through a little bit of a breakup, and she's totally fine with being alone and you know, having a little bit of time to herself and a little reflection, reconnecting with your inner self, and you're becoming a little more self-aware and whatnot. And her mother, is having no part of this. Like, her mother wants her in a relationship. So she was reading some personal ads to Kirsten, and she was sharing with us some of the ads, and it had us laughing so hard. You know, it's the typical your mom stuff. Like, your mother calls her up and says, "Oh my God, I'm reading this ad." And the personal ads are about 100, it's kind of like a tweet, you know, it's like 140 characters, and you're trying to sum up who you are with no picture or anything. You know, single white female, enjoys cinema, music, outdoors, contact me if you're into the same kind of thing. So her mother is calling her and reading her these ads, and she's like, "Mom, please." So we totally had some big laughs at Kirsten's expense, but it did, Gemma just said to me tonight, "You need to bring that segment back, reading the personals," because it was so funny when we used to pick apart the personals, me and Donna. So, I'm thinking about that, and you guys, you can let me know, like, if you think it'd be a good idea to bring that back. But, anyways, that was totally fun. And again, I feel like I'm going backwards from last night, but, Hazel is, back to work again. Like, I don't know if you guys know, she takes about, like, a month off between mid-September to mid-January, because she can, because she's the boss and she can. Which is a fun time for me, because we get to kind of go out in the middle of the day and have lunch and shopping and, you know, do all kinds of adventures. I heard there's a Five Guys in Kingston. Like, food adventures, if you will. So one of the last ones before she went back to work, she texted me and said, "Get ready, we're going on an adventure." And she had found a new farm store and there was a bit of a surprise element to it, because, you know, I'm still a little depressed that Tully's closed, because that was the most awesome farm store. Even though it's open, like, the farm part of it is open, the little shop, the grocery store, is closed. So I was having a tough time with that. I'm not going to lie to you. I was having a really tough time with that. So she found this new one, and it's called Crockford Bridge Farm Shop, and it was in Newhaw near Addleston. And we walk in, and I was like, "Oh, this is nice." Like, it's connected to a massive garden center. It has, like, a pet store, the garden shop. It had a Cotton Traders clothing store, which is where I love getting my sweatshirts and hoodies from. So it was just like, "Oh, this is incredible." But the farm store itself, the surprise was there was a little tiny American section. And it blew my mind. I was so excited. There's things here that I just can't find. Sometimes I can find things that are comparable. Maybe it has a different name. Maybe it's a different, a different thing. But it's similar to what I'm used to from the States. So I compromise and I go with it. And I try and like it. And most of the time I do. But some things you just can't get. Like, I can't find a good dill pickle. It's the sweet, weird, you know, the crunchy little gherkin things. But those are sweet. They're not dill. So I was having a hard time finding a dill pickle. Even a jar of Spears I would be happy with. But no, not having it. Everything is just a little bit off. Like, it's not dill enough. It's not pickled enough. So I actually, you know, in the American section, they had dill pickles. So I went berserk. I got a big jar of dill pickles. I'm thrilled. I can finally make, like, a burger and put a dill pickle on it and, you know, ketchup and mayonnaise and make it feel American, if you will. So I was super thrilled about that. I got Hershey bars. They had all kinds of things. I know I posted some pictures of it, but I did get some Betty Crocker cake mix. I got a red velvet cake mix. Not that they don't have that stuff here, but, you know, again, it's all about what you're used to. So there was, God, what else did I get? I felt like I got so much stuff. I got a lot of, I got Pop Rocks. Very cool. I got a couple of, like, Reese's. They do have Reese's here. But it, again, something is just a little bit off. And they don't like Hershey's here. That's one thing. They tell me that it's like baby vomit aftertaste, which I don't know the difference between adult vomit and baby vomit. Vomit, puke is puke. But apparently they feel like Hershey's has a little bit of a pukey aftertaste to it. So they don't appreciate the Hershey's whatsoever. And it's not even, you can't even find it here. So they have Nestle's, they have Cadbury, you know, that kind of stuff. But they don't have Hershey's. So I was in my glory with the Hershey's. So that was awesome, and they have Oreos, Fruit Loops, stovetop stuffing, sauerkraut. Like, I know they have sauerkraut here, but this was, I don't know, again, it's just weird. So I found a bunch of American things. I went absolutely berserk with, like, the last of my money. Just spent it all on American things, and I was super, super happy about that. Also bought the cats a couple of treats in the pet store, a few little catnip treats, so they're pleased with me. And I don't know if you saw the picture on Facebook, but they had these cute little toys there. And then Hazel got them. They're like cat toys in the form of sushi. So interesting, funny. The cats love it. Love, love, love it. So that was super fun. That was a great last adventure, and I believe on the way home, we did stop at a Five Guys. So again, Hazel, thank you for bringing me on your journeys. She plots them out. She plans them. She's super excited about it. It excites me. I'm super stoked about getting out of the house. So that was a great way to ease back into the fact that, you know, I mean, it's kind of been a weird beginning of the year. Like, at first it was great, like right after New Year's and everything. It was fantastic. I know I did. I think the show was like January 4th or 5th or something. But then right after that, all that stuff happened in France and Paris. And I got to tell you, I have a new respect for the people of France. I've been there, went like the first year, I think, that I was here. We went to Mont-Saint-Michel, which is a little different than Paris and Calais and all these other places that you hear about. This was a little bit more remote. It was in the countryside, and it was kind of like a big castle that you stay at. It's got different hotels embedded in it, and it's very historical, and there's a huge monastery at the top of it, and it's all on this incredible mountain that just juts out into the water. In fact, I don't even think you can get to it when it's high tide, because there's only a tiny little strip where you park and then you walk across to get there. So it's, you know, it was an experience, and it was, I was glad it was just a weekend because it was a little bit much for me. You hear about like how the French don't really, if you don't speak the language, they're not even going to help you muddle through. They're just going to stare at you until you say something that they understand. So by day two, I was getting a little crazy because nothing is written in English. Like, everything is, and of course, I mean, you're in their territory. Why wouldn't it be? So even though it was an amazing thing to see, it's not something I felt like I would have gone back to. So out of all the places I've traveled to since I've been here, Copenhagen, you know, Barcelona, Ireland, Amsterdam. You know, France has been my least favorite. And but after what happened there, and I'm sure, I mean, I don't know, I had CNN on, and it was 24-hour coverage for about maybe even a week, I think. They just didn't, the coverage was constant because what was going on was so constant. It started off with some Islamic extremists busting into a magazine that I'd never even heard of, and I'm sure you guys never even heard of, called Charlie Hebdo. And it's a magazine that, you know, I feel like it's the equivalent to our Mad magazine back in the day when Mad was a little bit controversial. This is just a controversial magazine that, you know, it's been targeted before because it takes pot shots at Mohammed, and but not just Mohammed. I mean, obviously they pick on every religion, every race. They have these very famous cartoonists that contribute to the magazine, and these gunmen opened fire in the offices and killed a lot of people, and it just went on and on, and it was just brutal. And there was film footage of it, and it was, you know, it took your breath away. I mean, you just felt it. And I don't know if it was more I just felt it. Everything that this little tiny magazine stood for, you know, was about freedom of speech. And I guess we take it for granted. I don't think I've ever thought this much about it since these attacks. And then the fact that they went on, there was a hostage situation, two simultaneous, one in the north of France where the actual gunman from Charlie Hebdo ended up holding up in a print shop. And then at the same time, another radical extremist, the third gunman, they were calling him, busted into a Jewish kosher market and took a bunch of hostages. I think there were like 16 hostages. He killed four, and there were 16 in there. And it was just, you know, a harrowing, harrowing few days. And in response to that, it was like the whole country came together in this massive unity march where world leaders, not President Obama, we'll get into that, but a lot of world leaders, Benjamin Netanyahu, Angela Merkel, there was just so many of them, Merkel, they all, you know, marched in parts of France and came together, and it was just incredible. Like, their resilience, the French resilience was just amazing. Like, they, you know, I think the best way to sum it up, the quote that I read that really brought it all home, was that these terrorists thought that they were going to bring Paris, France, to its knees, and instead the whole world stood up. And it was incredible to watch. It was incredible to see. It was really emotional, and it made you think. It really made you think about the whole thing, and I have a whole new appreciation for freedom of speech and for standing up for your rights. And I felt for the Jewish community, for what they were going through, being targeted the way they were by this third gunman, it's just been a mess. I mean, they ended up killing all of the gunmen. And there was one woman that was working with them in some way, shape, or form that escaped back to Turkey and then to Syria. So they're still looking for her. But it really put the world on edge. And in response to that, I feel like the world just kicked back and kicked it right back in their faces and said, we're not going to live in fear. And it was really incredible. I have a big-time big-time crush on Christiana Amanpour and Hala Gharani from CNN, because I felt like I was with them for a week, and they are, God, such intelligent reporters, journalists, that they are telling both sides of the story, and they really, their coverage was amazing. Of course, Anderson Cooper had flown right in. He was right in the mix, too, but the girls, man, I tell you, it was something to see. So it was kind of a weird beginning of the new year, I think, and it really did. It just affected me in a super big way. There's a lot of things we take for granted, you know, other countries look down on, and that we stand up for. And it's just, you know, we've been doing this show for 8 years, and you know, we've always been pretty excited over the fact that there's no FCC regulations and that we can say what we want and we poke fun at what we want and we don't think twice about it. I think it was Conan and Jon Stewart that kind of drilled it home by, you know, saying, you know, when you're in comedy, you know, and you have to think about getting killed over a joke, if there's nothing funny about that. And we fortunately don't have to feel that way, and other places do, and it's pretty scary to think that they wreak so much havoc, you know, on a civilized world. So it was rough, you know. And then I guess, you know, everybody's going through their own things. I mean, geez, I want to give a huge shout out to Jo Seal. You know her as Joe Mofo. From the chat room, and she traveled to Florida. We got to meet her and hang out in the studio. She was with us for a whole weekend when I was home a couple years ago. And she's battling the big C, but, like, our listeners are so fantastic that she's doing her treatments in Arizona, and the JJ's, who you guys know from the chat room too and who's done a show with me before, the JJ's is going with Joe. So she's with her for her chemo treatments and her radiation treatments. And the best part about it is that they're posting pictures on Facebook, and she's keeping her distracted and happy, and they're all in good spirits. So you guys are the best. Like, I just want you to know that I feel like our listeners are the best. Like, you find a way to rise above your shit and our shit and find the humor in it and keep each other's spirits up. And I love that about you. So thank you guys for doing that. You got big balls and an even bigger heart. And we love you, and we're here for you, and we're thinking about you all the time, Joe and the JJ. What you're doing is nothing short of amazing. So I was going to do a getting to know you, but because I put the whole podcast up with Sandra Balls, you will get to know in depth. You will get to know Sandra Balls. So I'm going to skip over the getting to know you part. And just talk about a little bit about stuff that has been in the news lately. I don't think it's like a headline anymore, but stuff that had caught my attention. There was like a huge thing about Russia and their oppressive crackdown on the LGBTQ population. This time they were announcing that transgender folks with disorders of a sexual preference, and I'm doing bunny ears, whatever that even means. They banned them from driving, and now there are reports saying that no, it's not true. And I always wonder, it's like, when I think that they really are going to go ahead and do something like this, and then they hear so much backlash and everybody jumps on board, and hopefully they give it a second thought and go, well, maybe it's not such a great idea. So now the reports are coming in that it's not true, they're not doing that. But the fact that it was a consideration, if it was a consideration, is fucking bullshit. There's no other way to put it. It's just absolute bullshit. So that got me a little bit rattled. But on a lighter note, here's some good stuff. Here's some good news, really. Orange is the New Black announced that Lesbo popular DJ and presenter Australian model Ruby Rose will be in season 3, sending Alex and Piper into a tizzy. So this is really good. I don't know if you guys know anything about Ruby, but first of all, she's friggin' gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I have put a couple of pictures in our Facebook group page of her, but there's a video, I think it's called Break Free or something to that effect, that she did really last year, where she starts out very feminine with the long blonde hair and the makeup and the high heels and the short dress, and then kind of slowly in the course of the video washes it off, takes off the wig, washes kind of like the skin tone color off of her body to show her tattoos and her shorter hair and her more masculine side. And it's just an incredible transformation that all takes place in this little video. And it's really amazing. It was all over After Ellen. So if you get a chance to Google that, check it out on YouTube. It's really impressive, really impressive. And it speaks volumes, about just the gender, society's idea of gender, I guess, is what it's all about, breaking down those stereotypes. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I want to give a huge congrats to Marina Rice Bader. You guys know her from A Perfect Ending. She was once with Nicole, producing partner Nicole Kahn's and life partner, I think, in So they've gone their separate ways, and Rena is doing her own thing, and she's done she did the movie this year, Anatomy of a Love Scene, which was really good. If you guys haven't seen that, my God, go see that. Marina also was working on another project called Raven's Touch, and that's starring Tracy Dinwiddie and Drea Weber, who I don't know if you remember, she was in The Gymnast. And you guys know Tracy, I don't have to tell you who she is. So Raven's Touch will be debuting, big news, this summer at a chosen summer film festival around June or July. So keep your ears and eyes peeled for more news on that. And that's just fantastic. So congrats to you, Marina. After Ellen.com announced lesbian emojis are here. These are so cute. Of course, I had to get them. They're in the App Store. And they feature carpet munching, U-Hauls, tattooed muscles, and kind of like scissors in this asymmetrical haircut, bi-level haircut on one side type of thing. It's very funny. They're really, really cute. So then that's a first. That's a big deal thing. I was very impressed with that. So yay us. And I don't know if you guys watch Girls with Lena Dunham on HBO. And Allison Williams, who is Brian Williams, your nightly newscaster, his daughter, Allison Williams, who just did Peter Pan, I think, on live television over there. Anyways, Girls is in its, I want to say it's fourth season, I think. Fourth? Maybe. But their big debut was the night of the Golden Globes. So not quite sure what you guys were watching, but if you were watching the Globes, you missed Allison Williams getting her ass eaten out on the season premiere of Girls on HBO. Yeah, I read the article on Gawker, not knowing that there was going to be a GIF. So that was really interesting that they showed that scene in a GIF. It was like a train wreck. I couldn't stop watching. I was like, oh my God, like this guy's face is right up in her ass. It's incredible. Her dad must be cringing in his suit and tie, right? I couldn't even handle it. It was a little bit crazy. Seriously, the balls, honestly. Television just breaks new ground every day. And I'm a lesbian, and I'm saying it breaks new ground every day. It doesn't even have to be a gay thing. It's just like, wow, asses are being eaten on television now. Asses, just take that in for a moment. Asses are being eaten on television. Crazy. Crazy shit going down. So let's talk about the Globes, the Golden Globes. It was weird this year not texting back and forth with Donna while it was on. I didn't get to watch the entire show in its entirety. It didn't air anywhere here. So I basically watched a rebroadcast online. But I got to see a lot of the clips as they were happening, which was very cool. Because, Tina and Amy, spot on, and stellar once again with their opening monologue, including some of the jabs at North Korea and the interview and the Sony hackers, as well as Oprah. I love the cranberry candles. That was great. And the fact that they had to explain what cake was to a room full of starving actors. The Joaquin Phoenix jab was hilarious. But the Clooney Lifetime Achievement Award, that was spectacular. It was feministy. It was a burn. It was fantastic. It was just great. And finally, ending on a high note with Bill Cosby. I put the pills in the people. I mean, it was great. Actually, I wasn't sure. I knew it was coming. I wasn't sure how it was going to go down. But, I mean, it's them, and you know it's coming, and they can make you laugh at it. And not at him, not so much at what's going on, but at him. So that was interesting. I thought, like, major moments. I mean, like, the LGBT presence was huge at the Globes this year. Seriously. The major moment was probably Jill Soloway's speech, like, dedicating the award for Transparent to Lila Alcorn, and Jeffrey Tambor's genuine speech thanking the trans community. It was fantastic to see. Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, that was great. Margaret Cho doing her best, I think, to stay. I hate to say this because I know she's a big part of us, but I felt like she was doing her best to stay relevant. Like, once with the North Korean journalist would have been enough, really. And then later in the show, Tina Fey in a tux. Come on, that was awesome. But the red carpet
The red carpet I watched on E! In its entirety. I think, I don't know, Orange is the New Black cast knocked him dead. Laura Prepon looked fucking amazing. Amazing. Taylor Schilling, I mean, really, the girls clean up so well. But, you know, again, I have a newfound appreciation for Naya Rivera because I wasn't a huge Glee fan and I wasn't a big Santana Brittany. I didn't know anything really that was going on. I would see pictures, but I feel like she's coming into her own. I mean, she may have shoved her foot in her mouth on The View a couple of times, but yeah, everybody has, right? Seriously. Hasselbeck has done it. Rosie's done it. Barbara Walters has done it. Whoopi does it on a regular basis. You know, it's just, I think it just, something takes over when you're in that clusterfuck of women. And that was my text message. Something goes on when you're in that chaotic, everybody's talking, clusterfuck group, round table type of thing that you're feeling it, man. You're feeling good. You're just saying what comes out. And she stuck her foot in her mouth last week. We won't even go into it. The fact of the matter is she looked fantastic at the Golden Globes, as well as Reese Witherspoon. I'm not a huge fan of hers ever since she pulled the "Do You Know Who I Am" with the cop when her and her husband got arrested. She's whatever. She looked great. Jennifer Aniston looked fantastic. Jennifer Lopez, wow, she looked great. I don't even want to get into Jeremy Renner with the Globes comment about her boobs, whatever, juvenile. But I got to give big boos to Juliana Rancic and Ryan Seacrest. They blew it. They blew it this year on the red carpet going fucking gaga over George Clooney and his wife. I mean, Jesus Christ. I just felt like they blew it hardcore. Like, Seacrest, I think he was thinking that he was going to get some big laughs having everybody in these, you know, Clooney Got Married shirts, and nobody even cracked a smile over it. And then Juliana with George Clooney has his own tequila and she wants to do shots on the red carpet. I mean, so that just did not seem to go over really, really well. But worst off, I think, was the Today Show folks, Matt Lauer and Savannah Guthrie, who I caught clips of. I didn't get to see it live, but I caught clips of Savannah Guthrie calling Viola Davis Shonda. Shonda Rhimes. Like, oh my God. Really? Unbelievable. So I think there was a lot for us to pick on. There was a lot to celebrate and there was a lot to poke fun at. No doubt. The representation, it was just there. Like, it was huge. 2015. 2015 was massive this year for this. I mean, it was big. It was bold. The Normal Heart was nominated. The Imitation Game, the movie about Alan Turing. He's a computer genius and a cryptanalyst who was gay. I didn't see the movie. It's on my list to see. But it was nominated for Best Motion Picture Drama, Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Benedict Cumberbatch. But it seems to be quite amazing. Again, the story, the premise, fantastic. Lesbians, Orange is the New Black, like I said, they were there representing. Bisexuals, House of Cards, boom. Transgender, right there, transparent, big wins. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And I think Jill Soloway was so classy. Like, her speech noted to the memory of Lila Elkhorn and to too many trans people who die too young. And that's the truth. Because in doing so, you made a break for freedom. You told your truth. You taught me how to tell my truth and to make the show. And we're going to be able to teach the world something about authenticity and truth and love. And that's just incredible. Jeffrey Tambor repeatedly thanked the trans community. He said, thank you for your inspiration, for your patience. Thank you for letting us be a part of the change. So that's awesome. That's awesome. On a lesser note, we were a little less present at the Oscars. The Oscar nominations were announced earlier last week. Because, you know, the average age of the voting academy is 63, and they're old, they're rich, and they're white dudes. So it's not a huge surprise, but I think when you see it in print, I mean, knowing what's out there, the material and the content that's out there, I think when you see it, it's just like, what the fuck? Wow. So, I mean, there were no surprise. Birdman Grand Budapest Hotel, American Sniper leading the pack. But for shit's sake, it's about who got left off. Ava DuVernay for Selma, a female black strong director for Selma. I mean, what an undertaking at left off. Jennifer Aniston. Anybody does a movie with no makeup? Come on. So she got left off. She got snubbed for Cake. Jessica Chastain, A Most Violent Year. The content isn't as bad as it sounds, but she's coming to her own. I mean, with Hurt Locker and then this, I mean, come on. Angelina Jolie getting left off the list for Unbroken, another powerful, powerful film. Goddamn, you bastards at the Academy. I mean, take off your Meryl Streep-colored glasses once in a while. It won't kill you. You know? I mean, Reese Witherspoon getting nominated for Wild, whatever. I mean, I don't even get it. She trekked across the Wild. She doesn't cut her arm off with a Swiss Army knife or anything, so whatever. I don't know. She walked her way back into good graces or something. I don't know. But my predictions are going to be Michael Keaton, I think, for Best Actor. I don't know, maybe Benedict Cumberbatch, I'm not sure. But I think it's going to be like Julianne Moore, Wes Anderson for Director, because everybody loves that quirky shit. So it's just like, whoa, man, like big time stuff going on in media. Go sports. Hey, man, I stayed up. I watched the playoff games. I give myself a little bit of credit. I got to tell you, a lot of sports news, though, not so much the playoff. I mean, we know now it's going to be Seattle and the Patriots. So I'm going for Seattle because I feel like Tom Brady, he's got, what, four fucking Super Bowl rings? Three, four Super Bowl rings. He gets to go home with Giselle Bundchen. What more does this guy fucking need? I mean, really, he starts every game. His second string guy never gets to throw a goddamn pass. I don't really need them to win. So I'm all for Seattle. You know what? I know you're defending champs. Do it up. Because you didn't look great in the playoffs. I'll tell you that much. I wasn't feeling it, man. They had this like third quarter momentum shift. And things started going their way. But up until then, it was all Packers. And I was a little disturbed. Because I was kind of rooting for the Pack. I love Aaron. There's something about Aaron Rodgers I love. Probably Olivia Munn, to be honest with you. Yeah, that's what I love. I mean, he's a good guy. He's going to be fine because she's fucking fine, and that's who he gets to go to bed with every night. So he'll be fine, I know. But it should be a good Super Bowl. It'll be interesting. There was a lot of news, though, that was like fluffing around the NFL. Like defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau from the Steelers resigned after 30 years. Not retired. Resigned after 30 years. I mean, there's some shit going down in that front office. Whew! And then the Bills, hello, they finally dumped Coach Maroney, or whatever his name is, and picked up Rex Ryan. And this is what my poor little team needs. They need a badass. They need a badass coach, and that's what they got in Rex Ryan. They need somebody a little more fearless, you know? So, you know what? I saw something. This week that interests me, may interest you. It was about porn. So, like, I feel weird saying this, but can we talk about porn for a minute? There were some really interesting facts. Like, I don't know if I can find them again. This is really, I hope I can, because it's interesting shit. While I look around for these, in the meantime, we are going to find we're gonna find some chick music. I think you guys are gonna be happy with. That's the first, you know that. And we got two golden nuggets, and a drink recipe, two drink recipes. So we got a little bit to go on here. But here's a little bit of interesting stuff about porn, and this is coming from Pornhub, 2014, a year in review. Where is it? The top 10 countries. Per capita with page views at Pornhub, USA in first place, Canada in second place, and the UK in third place. So way to go, USA. I'm quite proud of you guys. Make me proud over there in the States. You make me proud. There was just really, oh man. Tell me this. I can make this bigger. Okay, here we go. This is pretty interesting. The top porn stars. per country. In the U.S., the top porn star is Lisa Ann. Never heard of her. In the U.K., Lisa Ann. Didn't even know that. In India, Sunny Leone. Jeez, get with the times. In Germany, Melanie Mueller. Of course, Melanie Mueller. In Italy, Sarah Tomasi. Interesting. In Australia, here it is, you guys. This is so fucking funny. In Australia, the top porn star, Kim Kardashian. Yeah, do with that what you will. And the top searchers of porn, in Australia, lesbians come in first place, teenagers second place. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. Some of the interesting stuff, too, was a little bit about what kind of porn people are looking at. So in the States, the leading porn is lesbian. Next to that, it's stepmom porn. I don't even know what that means. And then cartoon and MILF. In the UK, number one spot, lesbian porn. And then British, which I'm not quite sure what that means, British porn. MILF came in third. Squirting, fourth. Canada, let's talk about Canada. Canada, first. The most searched porn, teen. Ooh, Canada. Ooh, get your shit together. Holy crap. And the lesbians came in second. And then I can't read some of the other ones because they're in another language. Unfortunately. Spain. Mom porn, number one. That's funny. What else we got here? Yeah, can't read it. Can't read the rest of these. But I just thought it was weird that all of a sudden there's stats for porn. That's pretty incredible. Stats for porn, you say? Yeah, stats for porn. You heard me right. Okay, so chick music. Like I was telling you, we got good stuff. Chick music, the Veronicas. I feel like you guys probably know them already. I'm not introducing you to somebody you don't know. They're from Brisbane, Australia. Fashion forward Australian pop music sisters, the Veronicas. Jess and Lisa Origliasso are back with a killer video for their first single off their new album. So the single's called If You Love Someone. And this is... If you love someone.
If you love someone. It's Lisa and Jess of Running
This is the... Oh, that was the behind the scenes one. Sorry. So go to YouTube. You just Google the Veronicas and it'll bring you to their channel. You just may want to subscribe because it's really good stuff. So this is If You Love Someone. And the fact of the matter is, they've been big since like 2008. They had a hit with an infectious little tune, you guys probably know it, called Take Me on the Floor, in which they sang, I want to kiss a girl, I want to kiss a girl, I want to kiss a boy. That same year, the Aussie paparazzi snapped a pic of Jess kissing the very kissable Ruby Rose. So their self-titled album, The Veronicas, is available for pre-order on iTunes. It's due to drop in March, and you can view the video on SheWired, YouTube, or Vevo by searching those sites for The Veronicas. And they're also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheVeronicas. Good stuff. Take a listen. Everybody's medicating, taking time and waiting for the right time. And it's your life, but it's your life. We can run around in circles we make, or we can run straight ahead. Never ever let the moment pass by when all the matters in the end. If you love someone, then tell them right now. Cause your heart won't rest till you let it out. Let the words you dream come out of your mouth. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. What do you think? It's got over 300,000 views already. And like I said, their self-titled album, The Veronicas, drops sometime in March. You can pre-order now. They have a bunch of songs in iTunes if you're an iTuner. Then check them out. Totally. Another little clip is Hook Me Up. I wanna feel the rain in my hair. This is the title track of Hook Me Up. The name of the CD is Hook Me Up, and that, again, back for 2007, I think, 2008. So they've been around for a little bit, and I'm sure you guys know them, but I've just discovered them, and I'm super thrilled about it, so there. So, all right, let's get back on track here. That was brutal. Jesus, I am so sorry for that. Man, give me a break. I can't deal with how slow things are going here. All right, where are we at? Here. Play some of my shit underneath. Here we go. All right, so we were talking about Golden Nuggets. Internet Golden Nuggets, there is two of them that I really enjoyed. One of them is www.mypride.me. which is a bit of a blog, but it's got all kinds of good stuff, interesting articles on all the latest news and whatnot. And I think this is like becoming a really big trend. Like, we're not finding websites as much as we are blogs that are looking like websites. And it's great because I feel like we'll never run out of them. We are never going to run out of them. The other one that I loved is called www.jjgirlculture.tumblr.com. So those are my two picks for Golden Nuggets. JJ, I follow them on Twitter, and that was kind of, they had a couple of good tweets that made me get a little curious, so then I went sniffing around for for their website. But the tweet that caught me said, she's probably just going through a phase. Heterosexuality is very trendy with the kids these days. So from there, I checked out the Tumblr, and it's really good. So you got time to kill, or you're looking for some new sites to browse, that's definitely one of them. And it's a Tumblr site, so remember, T-U-M-B-L-R, no E. It's www.jj, spell it out, J-A-Y, girlculture.tumblr.com. And the other one is www.mypride.me. So have a little look. Have a little look-see. Tell me what you think. Drink recipes. You know, everybody's been talking about Fireball lately. It's everywhere. Every time I watch an Ellen clip, she's making somebody drink Fireball. Donna was talking about doing shots of Fireball at some wedding she was at. So I thought, you know what? There must be drinks being made with this stuff. So I kind of did a little search, and I came up with two drinks that have Fireball in them. So do give it a try. The first one is called Angry Balls. I mean, who doesn't want to drink that, right? Angry Balls is 1.5 ounces of Fireball whiskey, and hit it with some Angry Orchard crisp apple beer. Combine the ingredients in a pint glass over ice. And I think Angry Orchard is more like a cider. So the Fireball whiskey, the Angry Orchard cider, that's a winning combination right there. The second one was called... Cinnabon Helsinger. I don't even know where they come up with this shit, but that is 1.5 ounces of Fireball whiskey, 3 ounces of vanilla Coke, and 2 maraschino cherries. I'm thinking I would definitely like this. I know I would like this. Over ice, add your Fireball. Slowly pour in your vanilla Coke. Give it a slight stir. Don't mess with your fizz. And drop in your maraschino cherries. And there you've got your Cinnabon Helsinger. I'll drink both. I would drink both of these. No doubt about it. I would drink both of these. Not a problem for me. What else do we got going on here? We got some events coming up. Yeah. Let me tell you about this. We've got, a Polari coming up. That's going to be fantastic. This is, for you UK girls, the Polari. You guys know this, Paul Burston, a well-known author over here. Puts on this the author reading. It's a nice event. It really is. You guys hear me talking about it all the time. But this one is on Friday, January 30th at 7:30, Royal Festival Hall, South Bank Center in London. Get your tickets because they sell out really fast, and they're gonna sell out fast because Stella Duffy is headlining that Friday night's reading. So you'll want to be there for that. I will be there. Katie will be there from Planet London. Say hi to us if you're there. There's a couple other cool things going on. There is a party at Bar Titania. This is in London. It's at 75 Charing Cross Road in London. And this is on Saturday at 8 p.m., January 31st. It's a wear onesie party. What more could you ask for? It's fucking cold. Who wants to leave their house, but you know what? You want to stay home because you want to be in your onesie? Well, guess what? You can wear your onesie right out to the club that night. Wear onesie party, Bar Titania, Saturday, 8 p.m., January 31st. It's at 75 Charing Cross Road in London. It's right outside the Leicester Square tube stop. It's just a couple of steps down the road. You can't miss it. It's great. That sounds like a fun party. On Thursday, February 19th at 6 p.m., Planet London is hosting an event called the LGBT History Making Modern London and Film. And this is a ticketed event, so you'll want to go to planet-london.com and check it out, find out how you can get your tickets. They're going to go quick. There's only a limited amount of tickets that are available. Again, it should be really interesting. Modern London on Film with an LGBT twist. Part of History Month, I believe. And this is hosted by Planet London Thursday, February 19th at 6. That's an early one. And it is at Roxy Bar and Screen, and that's on Borough High Street. And like I said, you can actually, it's £3 to get in, £2 for concessions. So what are you talking about? An evening for a fiver? And that would include your canapes. It's in association with LGBT History Month, Ultimate Planet, Planet London, at Southwark LGBT Network and Southwark Council. Planet London are proud to host this special one-off event. A film screening specifically aimed at lesbian, bisexual, queer, and trans women's audience of two modern London-based films that represent our contribution to history from this moment. So I think that's going to be a good evening. And I would love to see you guys there. I will be there. Support, support, people. Support, support. It's what it's all about. So listen, it's been an hour. Thank you for hanging in there and listening to me ramble. I just felt like there was stuff that we needed to talk about before it became irrelevant. You've been fantastic. I hope you guys listen to the Sandra Valls show as well. And remember, get with me about anything. You got an event, you got news, you got something you want to get off your chest, you need advice, you have a question you need an answer to, I will do my best to help you. You can email me at deniseanddonna@gmail.com. It's been fantastic having you. Thank you so much. Back again in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, hang in there, babes. See ya.
see.